I'm one of the pastors here as well as the director of E4, and I'm so proud of these students. They just got back, just completed 10 months of discipleship, classes, ministry, missions, leading people to Christ, and tonight you're going to hear some of those stories from them. I wish I could have every student come up here, share their story, but we would be here all night. And so we have a handful of them that are going to be sharing with you guys tonight, but excited for them to share what God has done. I know in my own life, when I was 19 years old, I went on my first mission trip. I came home, I was completely undone because I saw the world differently. Jesus had radically changed my life. God had used my life to lead people to Christ, and I saw people's lives change right in front of me through my life in theirs. And it was incredible. And it was hard to then like try to translate that when I came home to everybody else around me, because their lives have been going on and they're doing their thing, and quite frankly, most of them didn't care what actually happened in my life at that time. And so tonight, I just, first of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Eric for just allowing us to have this evening for these students to share their story, their testimonies of what God has done, how God used their life, because it's powerful. The word of our testimony is powerful. And so excited to see and hear from them tonight. And just want to kind of, if you don't know what E4 is and you're just here for the first time, and first of all, we want to welcome you to Rocky Mountain Calvary. And we're just so glad that you're here with us. But if you don't know about E4, we want to show just a really quick video of what E4 is, just a snapshot of what it looks like. And then right after that, our students are going to start coming up one after another and sharing their testimony. So would you roll the video?
It's hard to put into words the way this experience has changed my life.
Imagine doing hard things that push you past your comfort zone, leaning on others while trusting in the strength of an unfailing God.
Imagine engaging in deep Christ-centered community and living alongside a number of your closest friends, fostering deep relationships, learning how to love and be loved.
Imagine spending a year of your life exploring God's creation, hiking through the Andes Mountains, watching the sunset over the Sea of Galilee, adventuring through the narrow canyons of Moab, and exploring everything from capital cities to ancient ruins around the world.
Imagine deep diving into God's Word through intentional classes, studying relevant topics, and being equipped to face the challenges that life brings.
E4 Life is a 10-month live-in discipleship program for young people between the ages of 18 and 25 years who desire to dig deeper into their God-given identity and connect that to their God-given purpose. First semester takes place right here in Colorado Springs, while second semester we live abroad in Peru. And then lastly, a mission excursion to another country for 5 weeks, and then back to Colorado for a much needed debrief. We believe that when students know who they are, they can thrive wherever they are and in whatever they're doing. So imagine with me, you in this story.
Everybody, my name is Abigail, and I was a student this year in E4 Life, and I'm so excited to be here at Rocky Mountain Calvary again. It's like coming home. And actually, speaking at this particular service, this E4 Takeover service, is really surreal for me, because it was last year at the E4 Takeover service that I was called to E4. So to be speaking at it is crazy. And it was a really unexpected time for God to have called me to E4, because just 2 weeks before that, I had started having unexplained seizures and a bunch of random symptoms that made me feel like I had the flu 24/7. But God called me, and so with no medical answers and a calling to a 10-month gap year program that was fairly physically demanding, I just trusted the Lord, and I went. And it was so cool to see the way that God showed up, because he really did again and again for all of us. And one of my favorite moments was on the beach in Lima, Peru. My team was busy cleaning up from an event that we had been a part of, a ministry event. But I felt led to stay back and speak with a man that I had noticed earlier in the day. And he was an elderly gentleman, and as I started speaking with him, I discovered that he was a believer, but that he had been struggling for 8 years with chronic health issues. And he was trying to put into words what it was like. And he got stuck at, I just finished his sentence and I said, "You just don't have the words to explain how hard this battle is." And he looked in my eye and he started to weep. And I started to cry too. And he said, "How did you know?" And I told him my story. And even though I had only been fighting this battle of sickness for 11 months, compared to his 8 years, it was enough that we understood each other. And my heart broke for him, you know, and I got to pray with him, and we both wept the whole prayer. And afterwards, he embraced me, and he said, "Abigail, your words are like water to my soul, because this is the first time that I've met a believer who has stood strong in the faith, who gets what it's like to be walking through something like this." And I was so amazed in that moment. And then fast forward about a month later, I was in South Africa in a small town called Grabo. And it was there that my team went to visit an orphanage. And this was so cool. We did some songs and a lesson with them, and then we went outside to this little lawn to play some games. And as everybody was gathering at the lawn, I looked over at a little porch kind of spot, and I saw a girl who looked about 7 or 8, and she was just kind of standing off, like kind of closed off with her arms folded. And I knew in that moment, I was like, "Oh, I'm here for that girl." So I went over to her and I said, "Hey, what's your name?" She just wouldn't answer. I said, "How old are you?" She wouldn't answer. And I said, "Do you want to play the game?" No, she shook her head. So I said, "Okay, well, let's just sit on the porch and we can just watch together." We sat down. I told her my name was Abigail, and I noticed her looking at a bracelet that I was wearing that had a cross on it. And I said, "Do you want to wear my bracelet?" And as soon as I said that, her face just lit up. And so I said, "Okay, you can wear it." So I put it on her wrist, and then she started opening up, and she told me her name was Lucia, and she was 8 years old. And as she was running her finger over the cross, I asked her, "Do you know what that is?" And she said, "Yeah, it's a cross." I said, "Yeah, do you know what it means?" And she recited a very well-informed, gospel. She clearly had heard it. This was a Christian orphanage, so she knew the gospel. But I asked her, "Well, do you believe that Jesus died for you?" And this girl, Lucia, at 8 years old, had thought enough about the gospel to answer me, "I believe that Jesus died on the cross for everyone, but I don't know if I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me." And I was like, wow, that's really profound for an 8-year-old to be thinking about that. So I said, "Lucia, Jesus would have died for you if you were the only one left on earth that he could save. If you were the only one he could save, he still would have given his life for you, because that's how much he loves you. Do you believe that?" And she was amazed. She was like, "Yeah, I believe that." So I told her, "I want you to keep that bracelet because I want you to remember this conversation, because I know that God sent me here to tell you how much he loves you. I know that." And as our team was saying our goodbyes, she threw her arms around me and gave me a big hug, and then she showed me the bracelet, and she said, "I'm going to remember." And I almost cried, because I was like, man, God is so good. I mean, I know he sent me there for that girl, just as he sent me to the man on the beach. And it didn't matter that I'm dealing with this sickness. In fact, had I not been dealing with it, I don't think I would have had the compassion I needed to relate to them and to love them well in that moment. So I see that God sent me this trial for their good and for His glory. And so I just want to remind you guys that you don't have to have it all together to serve the Lord. I mean, look at me. I'm a 22-year-old, two-time college dropout with seizures, and God decided to use me anyway. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at, who you are, what you're struggling with, whether it's sickness or sin or fear or doubt, anything it is, God is bigger than it. He's going to handle it. He wants to work in our weaknesses. He chooses to, because then no one can boast and He gets all the glory. And so I just want to leave you guys with this verse. It's in 1 Peter 4:19. It says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." He is a faithful Creator, guys. He's never going to send you a trial that He will not use for His good. So trust this faithful Creator. Keep just doing good. Keep just loving the person in front of you. That's all this is. It's not complicated. So praise God that He chooses sinners like us. Thank you.
Hi guys, I'm Bishop. I'm also one of the students of E4. And my story starts a little bit before E4 actually. So I am originally from Texas. I moved here to Colorado about 5 years ago. And I lived in Breckenridge. So this was not my home church. I had never actually been until I had heard of E4. So I didn't really know what you guys were about or what E4 was about. So my story is about really learning what E4 thinks of love. Coming into E4, I knew that we would be doing a lot of evangelism. I expected that really just meant we were soliciting. I thought I had a checklist and doors to go up to, and can I have 10 minutes to talk about Jesus? Thankfully, that's not what it was. And we had been learning a lot about what it meant to evangelize. What is evangelism? And I remember the first time I went out and spoke to somebody about God, I was panicked and didn't really get a word out. I was with some of our other group members, and I just kind of sat there and prayed and hoped that they would carry the conversation, and thankfully they did. So going into our second semester in Peru, I really just prayed that I could get better at evangelizing, at speaking the word to others. And so I was waiting for moments where I could do that. And in our second half of Peru, there was a pastor's conference. I'm sure most of you know about it. Eric went to it. Sean spoke at it. So there's a bunch of pastors there. And our team was there just kind of to help make everything go along smooth. We were serving food. We were in the back clapping when you needed to. We actually did a dance for him too. So we kind of did a whole bunch of different things. But one important thing we were there to do was to just speak with the pastors, get to know each of them on a more personal level, and pray for them, see what we could do, and like learn from them. You know, these are guys that have years of experience. And so we just wanted to have time to talk to each of them. So after each of the teachings, we would take about 10, 15 minutes where all of us would just spread out into the crowd and we'd go talk to a pastor or two. And I found this man who was still sitting down by himself, and he had this stoic face. Like, he reminded me of my grandpa anytime he asked me about like my 5-year plan. You know, I just felt fear in my heart. So I'm like, all right, God, all right, I guess this is the guy you want me to talk to. And I approached him, and with my very little Spanish, I asked him his name and how his day was going. And his name was Max, and his day was good. And at that point, I was lost. So I pulled out my handy-dandy phone and got Google Translate out. I asked if he could type on the phone for me so that I could understand him. And to my surprise, he shook his head. No, I can't. And I assumed he just didn't understand me. So I asked again. And we went back and forth for about 3 minutes before I actually looked down and realized he didn't have a hand. I learned a lot in that moment about paying attention. I had never felt so embarrassed, so I apologized to him for probably 10 minutes straight. I'm sure he didn't understand any of it, but after that, I turned on the voice chat, and we were still able to have a conversation. And it is one of the most amazing conversations I've ever had in my life. I sat with him for about 30 minutes just talking about where he came from, his family, what it was like for him to be a pastor of his church in the village of about 100 people that he lived in, how his journey to get to the conference actually was, and how he was doing in his walk with the Lord, how he was feeling. And he told me that he loved the conference, that he felt truly loved by each one of us, that he had felt a mark on his heart by God, and that he was thankful that he came. And so, shaking his hand, I got up to go, and, I thought that was it. But the next morning, when I was up front greeting everybody, we had like a whole team of us just standing up front waiting to greet people. In Peru, they love to shake your hands. So you'll have like 7 people, and they're just shaking for like 5 minutes straight trying to get in. And this guy comes in, Max comes in, with his stoic face, early in the morning, and I'm expecting but he looked at me and he smiled, like a genuine smile. And in that moment, I knew that I had made a mark on this man, that the conversation I had with him like actually opened up him to this conference, that that he had an effect from what I said. And I know I said this is about me learning evangelism, but in that moment, I realized what it was. It's loving people. It's being with somebody. If we look at the Bible, God always just tries to say that he loves us. That's the one really clear message, is that he's there for us always. That he loves regardless of who we are or what we've done. And that's truly what it means for each of us to do. We have to love each other no matter what we've done or where we've been. No matter who we are or what country we live in or what language we speak, no matter if I try and shake your hand when you don't have one, it amazed me in that moment that I could make an effect like that regardless of who I was. So I thank God every moment for that man. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jaden Clevin, and I am originally from Laramie, Wyoming. So this is not my home church, but it's become home to me. So I have a very special short story to share with you today about a young girl who really impacted my life and how Jesus used to really show me what it really means to love. So I want to give you a bit of background. So I went to Romania. I was part of the team that went to Romania. And we worked a lot with the Roma community, which is also known as the Gypsies. And the Gypsies are the outcasts of outcasts. They are outside of the town of Cluj, where we were staying. And they're broken people. They're hurting. And they are in this trash, this dump, that there's trash to your left, there's trash to your right, and in front of you, there's just one house that is just 4 square planks, practically. It's just a very hard place to be able to see and see how they live. And we did a lot of ministry with young children. It was a really beautiful place to be able to gather the children and watch them just light up and see their smiles come to life. We worked in this ministry called Rise to Shine, and we would go up to this house. We would walk through their village. We would see them, just how they lived, see all these kids running around playing, no matter the circumstances that they lived in. And we would be able to just come alongside of these children and love them and see what they are. And right as we were leaving on our second night there, we were leaving the ministry, and it's this building that is fenced up with a lock on the door so that people can't come in and try and steal the equipment that they have for the church. And I walk out, and there's children that just come, and there's maybe 15, 20 of them, all within the age range of probably 2 up to 10 years old. And they just love to come see us. They love to hug us. They love to be swung around by us and just be able to be loved by people. And this one little girl, she comes up to me and she hugs my leg so tightly. I've never been hugged like that, just like she was hanging on for me for dear life. And I picked her up. And the first thing I notice is she was dirtier than the other children. And she had lice in her hair. Her hair was cropped about right to her ear. And it was dyed pink. And it was a little bit interesting to me. I was like, okay, this is okay. And she's got lice in her hair. She's covered in dirt. I'm covered in dirt now. But yet, she hugs me like something I've never felt before. Her little head is directly in the crook of my neck, and she just is hanging on to me for dear life. And I spin her around, and I ask the one thing that I know in the Romanian language, which is cum te cheamă. And I asked her, what is her name? And she said, Mia. And then she just exploded with words. And she just started speaking Romanian. But she said Mia over and over and over again so that I would remember her name. And I look into this little girl's eyes, and she's vibrant, and she's full of life. She's got so much joy in her eyes, no matter that she's dirtier than any of the dirty children around her. And she's beautiful. No matter what she looks like, the inside of her is beautiful. And that was just a very special, special moment for me out in Romania, because it taught me so, so much of what it really meant to love. Because out there, those children, they don't know love by action. They just know love. Honestly, they don't really know love. Those children are out there and their parents are yelling at them. Their parents are not together. Many young girls there are known to have children by the time they are about 14, 15. And so it's just a lot of brokenness and hurt. And that little girl, just full of joy, showed me what it really meant to love. Because we don't love people by telling them we love them. We love them by showing them we love them. If we don't show people through the love of Christ that we love them, how are they supposed to know? So this was a beautiful experience for me, just to be able to see Christ's love. And for me to be able to step out and share that love with this little girl, Mia, who hugged me and I spun her around and I kissed the top of her head like Jesus would. And she felt loved. I don't know her full story because I couldn't speak her language, but just being able to see her flourish just because of a kiss on the head was such a beautiful thing. And I've got just a Bible verse to share with you. I don't have it memorized, but it is Galatians 2, verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chloe, and I am one of the resident directors for this program. And it's been my honor to be able to be a part of E4 for the second year in a row. And so it's been so cool to get to do this again with different students and return to a lot of the same places that we went to last year and see familiar faces, see people who weren't doing so good last year in Peru doing much better this year, and just being able to continue on a relationship with people I wasn't sure I would ever see again. One story I want to share with you guys in Peru is when we were doing our first week of our mission week. And the way that we structure things in E4 is we'll do a two-week block class overseas, and then we'll do a one-week mission week after that. So our first day of our mission week, we are planning to go do evangelism, and we prepare a lot of props for these things. We prepared a drama, a skit, and everybody was practicing their testimonies and practicing how to share the gospel. And so we were preparing all week, and then the day that we were meant to go evangelize, everybody woke up sick. Like, very sick. Stomach problems, headache. Apart from me and one other girl, everybody else was sick. And we're like, okay, we see what kind of enemy we're up against, because everybody was fine up until that point, pretty much. And so it was a really cool morning. Like, we prayed over all of the sick people, and we just worshiped, and we're trying to fight the spiritual battle as well as take physical rest. And we chose to not do a lot of things that we were planning in the morning, so that the team who wanted to go do evangelism could still go. And so we went into the square near our house, and we did our whole presentation. We did the drama. We did some dances with kids in this big open square in Peru. And there was probably maybe 50 to, it's kind of hard to tell, but 50 to 75 people looking at our presentation. But let's just say it wasn't ideal circumstances. There was like a water fountain going while we were like preaching the gospel, and there's this kid on a scooter who was like scooting around. And so I'm like, okay, I hope that the Holy Spirit is really grabbing hold of people's hearts, because I'm not sure that they can hear. And so usually somebody from our team will give a gospel presentation, and during that moment, the rest of us will break into pairs and go and talk to people who want to respond and to make sure that they understand and get them plugged into the local church. And so Bishop, who already shared, he saw some people, and I was in his group, and we were going to go talk with them. But as we got up to go walk towards them, they walked away. And so we're like, oh, this is a bit awkward. But there was a family right next to us, like right there, that we didn't notice. And so we're like, okay, maybe this is who we're meant to talk to. And so I start talking with them through our translator and ask them, like, are you able to hear, like, what's going on over there? And they're like, yeah, I can hear. And I was like, were you able to see the skit that we performed? Because the skit is a really, really clear entry to the gospel. It's basically Jesus in perfect relationship with his creation, and then the enemy steals them away and puts them in captivity by drugs, alcohol, money, and then Jesus defeats Satan and then brings them back. So it's just very clear. And so our favorite way to get into gospel conversations was ask, what did you think about the skit? And so we asked that, and they're like, we didn't get to see the skit. Like, we were sad we missed the skit. And so I was like, okay, can I explain to you what the skit was? And walked through everything. And a big thing in Peru, as I'm sure many of you know, is the national religion is Catholicism. So the idea of God, the stories in the Bible of Adam and Eve, are not foreign to these people. But the part that is foreign to them is being able to be forgiven by God without having to do any works. The part that Jesus is the one who paid for their sins, and they could be reconciled to him without them having to do anything. And so I got to share that with this woman. And I really felt the Spirit prompting me to just talk about the Holy Spirit. Because she said, yeah, I know about God. I know about God, as so many Peruvians do. But I'm like, do you know about the Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of us when we start walking with Jesus? He comes to live with us, and he gives us his love, his joy, his peace. And she looked at me with brokenness in her eyes, and she teared up, and she said, I don't have hope. Like, I don't have joy. I don't have peace. And you can tell so much about where a person is at by looking in their eyes. And in that moment, the Lord just showed that this was a complete open door. And through our translator sharing the gospel with her fully, and us just saying that God wants her to have this free gift. God wants her to be able to walk in the freedom that he gives us and to experience his love, his joy, and his peace. Her and her whole family prayed to receive Christ that day, which is amazing. And that was our first day of evangelism. And the song that we had sung that morning that was ringing in our ears as we left was, "You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good." We started the day feeling super sick. Like, it was very rough, very high elevation in Cusco. It's 11,000 feet, so even higher than here. So we were a little altitude sick, but God had people that he wanted us to come into contact that day, and not even what the enemy wanted to do through sickness could stop that. One more story I want to share with you guys is I got to go in a smaller group to Hong Kong for the second part of E4, and this was such an opposite experience to Peru. The culture in Hong Kong is very reserved, very standoffish. The people there are like pretty judgmental from afar. And we were working with an organization that was run by Christians, but they wouldn't call it a Christian organization because of the state of China overlooking Hong Kong. And so this was really unique because we were basically working in a warehouse in different departments, me and my team separate, working in different departments. Some days I would just organize computers in a room all day. That was what I was doing. Or I would host clients who were coming in who were in poverty, and they were getting given free furniture, free beds, free clothing from this organization who's providing for them in need. And so I was like, okay, God, if I can't overtly talk about you, how can I show people your love? Just like the other students were sharing. And he began to like remind me, like, remember all the people who you've looked into their eyes. Like, how much connection did you feel with those you were looking into their eyes? And so I started like really like treating these customers who would come in like as valued human beings made in the image of God, and asking them their names, asking them their stories. Many of them were immigrants or refugees, because Hong Kong is pretty open with some of their borders. And so I was just thinking, like, I have no idea what so many of these people have walked through. And there was this one woman who came in, and she was pregnant, and they were shopping for many different things, and I was taking them around the warehouse. And I just asked her, like, oh, is this your first child? Because she looked pretty young. And she was like, no, we have four already. And they show me this picture, and it looks like there's like four under five kids that they have. And I was like, oh, wow. And she just looked so weary and so tired. And later I got to talk a bit more with her, and she said they were looking for beds because her whole family lived in one tiny apartment, which is common in Hong Kong, and they all slept on the floor. Not a single person, not a single child, or her and her husband had any beds. And so that's what they were getting from our organization. And I just asked her, where are you from? And she said she was from Indonesia, and she had been in Hong Kong for 20 years. She came for a funeral and decided to stay and work because the conditions were better than at home. And she said, I have two kids in Indonesia still. And I said, wow, when was the last time you went back there? And she said, 10 years ago. One time, 10 years ago. And so she had two children in their 20s now that she's only seen one time since she left 20 years ago. And that is the life of so many people all around us in Hong Kong, just brokenness after brokenness that we can't even imagine. And I just looked at her as she looked so weary and so tired. And I said, being a mom is hard. Like, I can't imagine having seven children and she's pregnant with another one. And I just said, like, thank you. Thank you for all you do. Like, I think being a mom is one of the most underappreciated jobs there ever is. And I really appreciate my mom for everything that she did for me. And so I just want to like thank you for being the mom that you are. And like a small smile like came across her face. And after that, she went away and she went back to her home, and I will never see her again. But I can just pray that God would use that seed and use that little moment of connection, of being treated with value and just appreciated for something she's probably not been appreciated for, and just show her his love through that encounter. And so it was such a cool opportunity to have two differing ministries. I look back and I see a lot of Peru as loving through words and loving through serving people, but being openly Christian. And then I look at Hong Kong as just loving through service alone. And God is glorified both ways. So If you ever think of these people, please pray for them. There is hundreds of other people that we got to meet as well, that we can just pray that the impact God made on their lives through us will grow to be harvested one day. So thank you.
Is this on? Yep. I'm far away from that slide, but I'm talking to everybody anyway. I just wanted to share a song with you that I wrote a little while ago. It's based on Isaiah 6 verse 8, where God is speaking to Isaiah, and he says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" A little bit about the song. I was playing it the other day, and Sean was like, "Oh, you should play this at church." I wrote it about 2 years ago, and I just remembered it when I was in Romania like 3 weeks ago. And the reality of the song had really sunk in. I don't think I really understood what it meant until I sang it again after 2 years. And it's become an anthem. Some of the words in the verse really relate to what the Lord is doing in my life now and what he has done. The Lord has called me, the Lord has challenged me, the Lord has comforted me, and through it all, he has loved me. Although the next step for me might not necessarily look like international missions, still trying to figure that out for now, anyways, this song reminds me of how the Great Commission should and can be carried out anywhere that we go. Now I'm certain that wherever I go, I will go with passion, with zeal, with conviction, and most importantly, with love. I hope this song speaks to your heart and challenges you how to respond to the Lord's call in your own life. Also, if you pick up on the chorus by the end, feel free to join in. It's a little bit of a jig. Okay.
Trusting you and your Hello, everyone. I'm Ashton. I'm the other director for E for Life here. And I just want to say thank you so much for having us here. There are so many more incredible stories, and I hope at least a few of you can go over here and you can talk to them after, because they have so many, many impactful stories that God has done through them for His glory upon this earth. So I just want to say, even for me as a director watching them, it's been so incredible. God is so faithful when you put in the time, the effort, and the love that is necessary to those that you're discipling to really create a long-term lasting impact for the rest of people's lives across the world. So I just want to say a few things really fast. If you were encouraged or spurred up by this time that we had all here together, I just want to tell you first that we're so thankful for all of you. We're thankful for your prayers. None of this could have happened without the prayers that you guys put forth throughout all of these last 10 months for us. We also want to say thank you for all of you who sent us, who gave financially, who just simply were there as mentors or as an encouragement, or people just connecting with them on a weekly basis. We just want to say thank you so, so much. It means the world to every single one of them. I wish so much that I could explain and share how much this means to them and to us. And then I also just want to say, to do this again, to continue to create radical disciples, people who change lives and encourage others, who go to the ends of the earth, who pour out their hearts and their lives through this ministry, we need help. And that's the same things again. We need your prayers first and foremost. We need people interceding to our Heavenly Father above, often and always for us, that these people would continue to work hard, be developed. They're about to leave. They graduate on Sunday to be commissioned out to the ends of the earth. Most of them live in a foreign state. And so they're going home to their churches to create a greater, more deeper impact than they ever could here by themselves. And so we need you to pray that they go out and they live radically, continuously for Christ, and that the next group that's coming in here in just 2 months would be able to do the same. So pray for us earnestly that we would be able to continue to do that. And then we also want to simply ask that you be ready to support us anyway next year. We need volunteers. We need people supporting us, mentors or host families, or going on our excursions, different people like that. So we want you to be looking for opportunities to be serving us. You'll see it on your bulletins. You'll see it online, the RMC website, the E4Life website as well. And then we also want to ask you guys in one last way is to be helping us financially. This program can't run just on without anything. It takes a lot to financially do it. We know our Heavenly Father above will provide all things always for us. But in the back, in the booth way back there, we actually have a table set out for people who are one, interested, but then two, who are able to help give. And we actually have a little donation spot where we have some coffee that's specialty imported from South Africa, where one of my teams and another team was, that we would love to give to you alongside any donation that you give to us. So, again, pray for us, sign up, join, serve, and then also financially support us in any way possible that you allow the Lord to lead you in. So with that, I just want to thank you again so much, church, for what you've done. You and your prayers, your care, your love, your simple kindness, kind acts of serving or saying hello to them has created 16 radical disciples who are going out to the ends of the earth on Sunday to live for Christ in every single possible way possible. I wish I could tell you the stories. I hope you ask them, because they have some God miracle stories that they could share with you that will really encourage you and allow you to be persevering in your faith. So with that, I'd like you to stand with us as we end our service. And as we go into worship now, we have communion at these three front spots. So as worship goes on, feel free to come up and take communion. And with that, let's worship together.